Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers, and tonight's conversation is with Sam Chambers, administrator of the Food and Nutrition Service. Well, Sam, in this third segment, let's talk about managing F&S and dealing with employees. In our last segment, you described tremendous change that take place, and my first question is, how do the employees deal with all this?
Initially, I think employees at the lower levels of the organization looked at this with great skepticism. They had administrators come and go. If there's one constant, it's change for them. And they've had prophets come and make prognostications about change in the past and the benefits of adopting change and so on and so forth without much, if you will, major popular result. And so they looked at me as essentially the next person in a line of people who will come in and attempt to produce change that would not result in any change at all, or certainly no improvement in the quality of their lives. People at the middle and even some people at the top looked at me and some of what we were offering as a pure threat, a threat to their homeostatic and comfortable lifestyles, if you will. Many of these people have been in the organization for 20, 25, 30 years. They were comfortable doing things the way they were doing it. As far as they were concerned, and at least several people said to me openly in meetings, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. My retort to that was, if it ain't broke, then break it. Because nothing remains constant in this life. We all age, whether we like it or not. And there's a significant amount of beauty products on the market today that are available to attest to that. So there was skepticism, there was fear, there was panic, and there was some out disgust and outrage with the fact that we were introducing all of this change and promoting that we were going to do this within the lifespan of 2 years, which is the maximum time available to me as a part of this current administration. Overcoming that, of course, required several things. It required, one, that I continue to be committed to the charge that I had been given by the undersecretary. Two, committed to myself and the expectation that I've always lived by myself in terms of being productive and having something to show for my efforts at the end of every day. Three, it required proof. I had to establish rapid results for staff. I had to appeal to them at their basic levels. And then I had to walk the talk, and we constantly talk about walking the talk. They had to have evidence. They had to see change, and they had to see it in their lifetime. And they had to believe that they would benefit from it. So one of the first things that we did was make them a part of it. And so the license to improve, if you will, process that is a part of our TQM process itself is really a mechanism by which we provide local empowerment for individuals to look at the way they work and to look at the way their teams work and to look at outdated processes and to look for methodologies that they can sponsor, that they can author, that they can create, they can divine and innovate. And without needing to get, if you will, extraterrestrial approval from higher ups in the administration, go about the business of making those changes. Since February the 1st of 1999, we've been able to document 165 locally inspired, individually employee directed licenses to improve, where individuals, as far as our administration is concerned, simply have to acknowledge what they're doing. And as long as they have the blessing of their immediate supervisors and they can identify other individuals who have an interest in working with them, they're free to innovate.
What kind of changes have those projects brought about?
Those projects have brought about simplifications in work processes and work methodologies. They have brought about major changes in terms of how we recognize employees. We have a recognition campaign now that is pre-funded. It has resulted in major streamlining in terms of workspace requirements. I'll give you an example. I was down in Florida at visiting one of my offices, one of my field offices, an office of about 15 people, and I was introduced to a student assistant, a summer assistant, who was aware of technology and had presented to me an idea for taking all of the many files that we have currently stored in file cabinets and managing that paper on using CD-ROM technology. I came back and talked about that. I said to him at the time, you have an automatic license to improve. You don't even need my permission. We will procure the equipment. You demonstrate the technology and produce the savings, document the savings, and then we'll empower you to go forward and do this. That office did not move swiftly, but in talking about it, a young person up in my Northeast region, up in my Boston region, heard about the idea, and now they have actually implemented it. Again, did not require any official approval or sanction from any higher-ups in the organization, just simply required that folks consider the opportunity available to be creative.
And I noticed that with your quality management effort, you also invest in employee training. What's your strategy for training?
Our strategy for training is based on an idea that was given to me some time ago that says that every employee who joins an organization has a right to expect some opportunity for actualization, if you will, or personal actualization as a part of their commitment when they join that organization. We may hire an individual as a program analyst. But over the lifetime of that individual's career service with this agency, one would hope that that person will become agitated enough to want to grow in the organization, which means that they're going to go outside and get some professional training and some job-related training on their own, perhaps even pursue an advanced degree work in a college setting or university setting. But we have an obligation, I think, to also meet that person halfway and provide them with the tools and resources that would help them develop so that they could aspire to do more in the organization. So recognizing that the organization that I inherited had a very low visible commitment to professional development, we pumped some money, dedicated some money to training and professional development. We took the very limited resources that were at that time housed in our human resources development that really were not being exploited as well as I thought they should, relocated them to my office personally to be managed and developed, assigned them to my quality manager so that he could, if you will, ensure that the training that we did was consistent and compatible with our overall goals for quality management and leadership development. We then went out and procured the services of an organization to produce a leadership institute based on proven design work that had been developed in another sister agency. We then front-funded 15 months of that program as a demo. We put in place a recruitment strategy for the best and the brightest of our young people in the organization, and then we committed them to a 15-month aggressive leadership development program. We then developed a strategic plan for professional development for all of our staff, and our senior leadership team has now recently blessed that plan, and we are very aggressively moving to put that plan in place and to have the first training, if you will, available late summer of this current year. And all of this within the 2 years of having signed on to this job.
The agency is committed to quality management because you believe it will help the agency improve the nation's nutritional health and end hunger. How do you feel that FNS is doing in terms of moving closer to this mission?
Well, certainly in the last 2 years, we have galvanized our workforce. We have developed a community, what we refer to as a community food security strategy. We have empowered and required every one of our staff throughout the entire system to become personally involved in working with those local communities, being creative, providing leadership. We have, if you will, rehone our agency's vision, and the new vision challenges us all to end hunger and to improve nutrition and health as our primary objective. This is what we do every day in and day out. So we are moving further along those lines. We have created, if you will, new resources, new tools. Many of those are up on our public website so that individuals and organizations throughout the United States who want to know more about what they can do and more about what we're doing can actually go into that public website and pull down information that would lead to demonstrate to them our commitment as an organization and as individual professionals to achieving this particular vision for our organization. So we're moving aggressively forward. The newly reformatted strategic plan is now in place in our organization. Every one of us who goes out and does any public speaking tries to find some way to highlight that strategic plan and that vision. And as I indicated, we've now charged all of our administrators and all of our staff with responsibility for living, if you will, that vision through their professional connections and personal relationships as a part of their job. So we are moving forward. We've given ourselves 5 years to show significant benefit, but we're not waiting for 5 years proof before we feel that we've moved in the right direction. So we are each year, if you will, going to be readjusting and fine-tuning our objectives so that we make certain that we are moving aggressively toward that end. If you're interested, I can give you an example of what one of our managers is doing down in the Southeast region, which is headquartered in Atlanta, Georgia. Virgil Conrad, who is the regional administrator there, has convened all of his commissioners from all of the states that he's responsible for and gotten their agreement to signing on at the highest levels of government in those states to a campaign to end hunger by the year 2005 in the entire Southeast region. This has heretofore never been done before, that one of our offices and one of our management teams has been able to, if you will, get agreement with state officials to end hunger by the year 2005.
Well, an admirable goal. We'll be back with more of the Business of Government Hour in just a minute.